Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, NBA playoffs start tonight live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Loaded today, lot of energy, big night's sleep. Joy Taylor is joining me, a lot of big energy today.
A lot going on.
There's a lot going on. The playoffs, the play-in games, those are playoffs.
I'm excited for the play-in games.
Oh, I'm excited for all course. We're in the sports get interesting business. It gets interesting tonight.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been very lucky. The draft, the schedule, the playoffs. I got to start with this, though. Oh, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers loved this. The most famous GM the Packers have ever had, very, very good, Ron Wolf, was on a local radio show. And before I play the bite, there are some things in life I'm just not going to waste my time with. I'm not going to ever try to make a liberal a conservative or a conservative a liberal. They got their camps. I'm not going to be on Twitter all day trying to convince them to come over to my side. I just laugh at people doing that. Secondly, life was better in the good old days, guy. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not going to try to convince him that no, life is actually way better now. Like, their people have their camps, they get embedded, they're a mile deep in it, and I'm not going to try to argue out of it. I found life was better in the good old days. Ron Wolf, former Packer GM, talking about, let's see, maybe he's talking about Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers wanting an opinion. Here's Ron Wolf on a local radio show in Milwaukee.
It's like we got a lot of divas playing in that league right now. It's an interesting phenomenon as far as I'm concerned. All these guys that are doing this have long-term deals. I just can't believe that the game has changed that remark, but there's a huge change. Today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. It's an interesting dilemma.
It's a dilemma? Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back NFC championships. Who's that a dilemma for? Seattle wins 10, 11 games a year. That's a dilemma. Yeah, Tom Brady. I know Bruce Arians wakes up every morning. Whoa, I have got a dilemma on my hands here. I'm going to have to build a Super Bowl trophy room, not a case. These are dilemmas. Divas. So let's address the life was better in the good old days. These guys are divas. So let's start with Russell Wilson. Seattle, Pete Carroll, who I like a lot. He's come on the show. He'd been fired twice in the NFL. First 2 years in Seattle, losing seasons. He had to win or he was going to get canned a third time. Never get another NFL job. Drafts Russell Wilson third round. Within 2 years, he's the toast of the league. Commercials, $7 million a year. Pete then makes several clunkers hirings on his offensive line staff. Like the offensive line coaches, couple clunkers. Russell Wilson gets hit so many times, it sets an NFL record. He runs an offense that is so outdated, Seattle has to change coordinators because people are mocking the Seahawks in the analytic world. Russell Wilson, the diva, voices some frustration. That's a diva? Let's go to Deshaun Watson. His head coach attempts to be a general manager in Houston. It's a disaster. His owner lies to him. They trade his superstar wide receiver for a second-round pick. That's it. For a brief time, the organization is run by a former team chaplain in New England. Deshaun Watson, the life preserver in a sinking ship, says, I'm out of here, man. I'm over this. It happened for years and years and years. That's a diva. Aaron Rodgers, his team doesn't even compete in the free agent market. They can his quarterback coach, don't tell him. They draft his replacement, off an NFC championship year. And Green Bay over the years has let go of receivers he really likes and has been public about it, like Jared Cook, the tight end, or Jordy Nelson. Aaron's like, okay, I'm over this. I'm 37 now, and that's supposed to be a diva. Listen, Randy Moss, Antonio Brown, T.O., I've heard, you know, the line, they're divas. You can make an argument with those guys. I get it. A lot of wide receivers in the NFL have had their moments. But a quarterback who's a superstar, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Aaron Rodgers, simply seeking competency from the person who runs their franchise, I don't know. That doesn't feel like a diva to me. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can be prickly. He won't appear on this show. I struggle with that. I'd love to have him on. Russell Wilson, sometimes he runs into his own sacks. And Deshaun Watson is not a great natural thrower. He's not a perfect quarterback. But all three of these guys, they're just seeking competency. I mean, LeBron James, great example. How embarrassing is it that people in Cleveland once burned jerseys because he's left? Think about this. LeBron James, three times before he got to Cleveland, they were the worst team in the league. He left Cleveland and Miami. They became the worst team in the league. He left Cleveland for the Lakers. Once again, first or second worst team in the league. They are utterly incompetent, ownership down. At least the second time, Cleveland fans didn't burn jerseys. LeBron would have stayed in Cleveland if you could have gotten him a top GM, stayed with a GM, given him consistently good players. Diva, and listen, I'm from Seattle. It was a losing franchise. We were known for the King Dome and really loud fans. We were a losing franchise. We had been fun. We were interesting. You know, our fans were crazy. We played in a weird King Dome. And then Russell Wilson showed up, and the Seahawks are a perennial Super Bowl contender. Last year, Seattle's disappointed the way the season went. They were 12-4. and Seattle is like, now, Russell Wilson's like, hey, we need to get better. That's called standards. Russell Wilson has standards. Aaron Rodgers has standards. Deshaun Watson has standards. I mean, Ron Wolf, and I know he's a legend, but he needs to join the Just Stop Talking Club. He left the NFL 20 years ago. It was different. 20 years ago, look it up. It's called Google. You could literally have an average quarterback, your best player be a running back, have a good defense, and make Super Bowls. That 25 years ago, that happened a lot. Like, you really didn't throw the ball much. And then everything changed. Safety rules changed. You couldn't hit the quarterback. You can't hit wide receivers. You used to be able to grab a wide receiver when the ball was hiked, shake him, throw him, toss him, ride him down the field. And then if he caught it, go high, knock him out. You can't do any of it. You can't hit the quarterback. Good God, if you accidentally are pushed into a quarterback's knees as a defensive lineman, penalty. You can't hit anybody. You can be thrown out of games. At college, you are. You can't grab wide receivers now. I mean, the league, all the rules are for offense. All of them. What's that mean? It means when the greatest coach in the history of the game, Bill Belichick, loses Brady, he can't even have a winning record in the AFC East. Forget the AFC West, the NFC West. Patriots had a losing record in the AFC East. It means that Patrick Mahomes now is worth $45 million a season. And we're calling that a team-friendly deal. The Mahomes deal is like, whoo, the Chiefs got off easy on that one. How much are they paying him? More than LeBron. The world's changed. Because the NFL's never been safer. Honest to God, it's amazing how often you get to a Super Bowl. In the last six or seven teams, only one will have, like, injuries. I mean, if you take out the Chiefs' left tackle last year in the playoffs, I mean, Tampa Bay was completely healthy. That's why they're adding games. You don't hit at practice anymore. You can't hit receivers. You can't go high on tight ends. You can't hit quarterbacks. I mean, they're going to eliminate eventually either the punt return or the kick return. So the bottom line is, The league is all offense. The quarterbacks are everything. I mean, last year I picked all seven AFC playoff teams. I went 7-for-7. Why? Let's look at the quarterbacks. I mean, you start looking around, you're like, eh, okay. I mean, don't have one. Totally limited. That's why teams now will draft a quarterback, and the very next year will draft another. Josh Rosen, well, we gave you four starts. Boom, we're off. Trubisky, third year, yeah, we're done with you. But I made the playoffs twice. Boom, out. That's the league. So Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Deshaun Watson are not divas. They're all-time great talents who are simply seeking competency. This is the downside to being great. LeBron James has never asked other players to be as good as him. LeBron James left Miami when D-Wade got old. They're still friends. He left Cleveland because they were incompetent. He got rid of first-year and second-year players in Los Angeles because he wanted them to be good. I went to Laker games when they had Lonzo Ball and all the Brandon Ingram. And you'd go to a Laker game in the first quarter. LeBron James would ease himself into the games and he would pass, 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 crossing his fingers that he didn't have to every night lead the team. But invariably, none of those guys were ready to play, couldn't hit shots, would miss dunks, would miss, and LeBron would have to take over and carry the team. He didn't want to get rid of those players. LeBron didn't want to get rid of Lonzo Ball. He gave Lonzo Ball every opportunity. Kyle Kuzma. He was begging for them to be better than they were. Brandon Ingram. In the end, the downside to stardom, Aaron, Russell, Deshaun. These guys aren't demanding everybody be as good as them. I don't know, Aaron's just asking, could you give me a heads up on my quarterback coach? Could you give me a heads up if you're going to draft my replacement? It's called respect, not diva. All right. By the way, there's one other line here by Ron Wolf that made me laugh. He was on the local radio. And he was asked about the Packers on how split the fan base was when Brett Favre left. His quote was, well, Lambeau Field was still full. Okay, great, but you have to realize Seattle doesn't have a contingency plan. Houston doesn't have a contingency plan. And my leanings this morning is either it is Green Bay, because Jordan Love ain't it. All right. That's just, I'm in a mood today. You give me 8 hours. If I slept well, I mean, like every night, I mean, you couldn't even compete with the show. by the way, there's a couple of really interesting stories today. So Albert Breer went out and he called multiple general managers and said, what would you get for Aaron? And it's interesting, the package that's out there. But first, LeBron James went to his little social media account last night, kind of pushed back on the haters, and I'm here for it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jersey Mike's, good things come to those who wait and those that don't at Jersey Mike's. Order ahead. Skip the line now through May 23rd. Use the code HERD for $1 off your order. So yesterday on social media, LeBron is sort of prone to do this. But, you know, listen, generationally, I talk about this on the air once, not very often. But, you know, I mean, the phone and how much you use it in social media, anybody under, you know, like 35, 36, that's what you grow up with. I like to watch games and not be on my phone. I like to just watch games, open a cold beer, sit with my dog, have the channel flipper. I don't want my phone. But if you're young, you grow up and you're on your phone as you watch games. It's just, I didn't grow up with phones. I get them, but I didn't grow up with them. And so outside of NFL Sunday, I mostly don't have my phone with me when I watch games. I just want to watch games. So LeBron often goes to social media because that's the generation he grew up with. He's got his phone all the time. That's how people communicate. So yesterday, a stat came out where LeBron has the most 25-point-per-game seasons in NBA history, you know, mostly by a long shot over everybody else. Jordan's got 12. LeBron's got 17. And then LeBron went to his Twitter account and said, yeah, since I was 19 years old, and I'm a pass-first guy, always been. That's why I'm never mentioned with the greats of scoring, huh? That's perfect, because I'd rather keep it that way. You know, people are like, come on, LeBron, it's a little petty. That's just, you know, that's just, he's on the social media every day. That's how he communicates. But LeBron is right now, I think, what, third all-time leading scorer? And we don't mention him as a passer. In fact, I've said this before. My favorite LeBron James stat in the history of his game is not an NBA stat. And we know he didn't play in college. It's a high school stat. It's my favorite stat by far. LeBron averaged 28 points a game as a junior in high school. And just one bucket more as a senior, 30. He could have scored 50 a game in high school. He basically had the same average. Why? Because LeBron's always been about his teammates. LeBron's always made the right basketball decision. What does the team need now? And this is one of the things that's really unique about LeBron. I've always called him the greatest Swiss Army knife in basketball history. He does everything well. Even the other all-time great athletes, they knew what they did well and they leaned into it. Michael Jordan and Kobe were aggressive scorers. Neither was really an assist guy. Neither led the league in assists. Neither was a rebound guy. They scored. That's what they did. They leaned into it. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Pre-snap geniuses. Neither are great athletes. Neither run around. But both, before the ball snapped, probably as good as we've ever seen. And they just leaned into it. More film. More, more, more. Tony Gwynn. Best pure baseball hitter I've ever seen. I didn't grow up with Ted Williams. Tony Gwynn. I'm not a home run guy. I'm a base knock guy. So he hit for average. If LeBron was a baseball player, he would be what he is as a basketball player. He could lead baseball in batting average. He could lead it in on-base percentage. He could lead it in home runs. But he'd do a little of everything. What do you need in the moment? That's LeBron. LeBron and Wilt Chamberlain are the only two basketball players in my life who could lead the NBA in any category, but they've had to make a choice. LeBron, last year, led the league in assists. LeBron now has the most 25-point average seasons. For years, he was the best on-ball defender. He literally could guard any position. I still go back to the Chicago playoff series when he was a Cav where he said, I'm going to guard Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was MVP. Totally shut him down. Little tiny Derrick Rose. Little pew, 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 pew. That's like asking an 18-wheeler to stop a Fiat. It's like, yeah, take him out of the game. He's the best leader. LeBron, but Wilt was the same way. Wilt's like, I'm going to lead the league in rebounding. Don't tell me about Bill Russell. I'm going to lead the league in assists. Wilt Chamberlain once led the NBA in minutes, and he averaged more minutes than there were per game. What? Because he played overtime. Because he heard Wilt, you don't play that hard. Wilt's like, I'm going to lead the league in minutes and assists and scoring and rebound. If you count playoffs, LeBron, all time in basketball, is second in points, fourth in assists, eight in steals, 31st in rebounds. And the only reason he's not 10 in rebounds, because he could be, is because you don't want LeBron rebounding because you want him on the fast break because he's a freight train. So LeBron, very early in his career, figured out, I can score so quickly and beat all the guys guarding me down the floor, I don't want to be grabbing a rebound and have to weave my way through traffic. I'm just taking off, get me the ball and I'll score. So everybody else, even the stars, know what they're good at. They lean into it. LeBron doesn't. LeBron has to make a choice. What matters this year, this moment, this set, this series, this possession? What does my team need now? Okay, I'll be the best in the world at that now. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So Pro Football Focus ranked all 32 starting quarterbacks heading into the 2021 NFL season.
All of them.
I think you'll be a little intrigued where they put some of these guys. They evaluated every player on every play and used multiple years of data to project future performances. And they also isolated each quarterback from their supporting cast for a more effective projection. So that's the criteria for this. So the top 10 are Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, sure. Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson,
yeah.
Josh Allen.
Boom, right there.
Dak Prescott.
Now we're arguing.
Lamar Jackson.
Close.
Matt Ryan.
About there.
Baker Mayfield, top 10.
I wouldn't do that. Who do they have 11?
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, so Matt Stafford's not as good as Baker Mayfield. Okay. All right, crazy town. All right.
Okay, well, what I think is interesting You know, we can argue like, you know, the rest. I think you start arguing around, I guess, in your opinion, 7,
yeah,
which would be Dak Prescott, which is, I think, in general, where most rankings start to become little more nuanced.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can kind of agree on the top 5, top 6 in the league. But, interestingly enough, they have Trevor Lawrence ranked 21st.
He hasn't played.
Over Jimmy Garoppolo, Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, Goff. And they have Justin Fields at 25, who is over Jared Goff, Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, Tua, Zach Wilson, Jalen Hurts, and Drew Lock.
I'd love to see him play a snap in the NFL, but nonetheless, that's... By the way, you know what I see right there? Big Ben at 16. And Steeler fans get all into their feels when you suggest it's time to move off Ben. And by the way, you start looking who's around. Joe Burrow is 2 spots behind him, and he's ascending.
Yeah.
So according to this list, Baker's better than him. Lamar's better than him, and it looks like here Burrow very quickly is better than him. So Ben is now the 4th best quarterback in his division, maybe by week 5. And you can't believe why anybody ever goes, it's time to have a contingency plan.
I don't understand the plan with Ben Roethlisberger either, but this is it's pretty interesting. I have Justin Herbert at 15. So they have Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill ahead of
most
Justin
of it,
Herbert.
Yeah, most of it I don't have any. Dak's a little high for me, but I don't even care
well,
about.
Well, this article was written by Bruce Gradkowski, and he will be joining us at 1:45.
I got Baker about 14. That's 15. Dak about 12, 13. I have Matt Stafford probably a slot higher.
I am interested to ask Bruce how they got to the Lawrence and Fields rankings though. So the Pelicans missed the playoffs this season. Finished just outside of the top 10 in the West, 31-41 record. And Zion did not hide his disappointments when discussing how the season went.
So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say, we're close or this. The reality of it is it was very disappointing not to be a part of the play-in tournament and stuff. But we just got to come in and just be better. That's just me being real.
Yeah. By the way, the Knicks were really good this year, and the Pelicans were not. I'm just throwing it out there. Well, how great would that be?
We were all kind of hoping that Zion ended up with the Knicks, and I loved New Orleans, but Pelicans don't. Look, the Knicks don't have a history of being great as of recent either. But it is New York City; it's a bigger brand.
For all the love that the Pelicans players that used to be Lakers got, this is why they got rid of them. Even with Zion, who's virtually unstoppable,
right.
Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, can't make the playoffs. Can't make the play-in games.
Well, we know how the NBA is built now. Like, he needs another superstar next to him if they're going to be competitive, especially in the West.
It's not Brandon Ingram. Brandon should be your 3rd.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be another star. Like, yeah. Brandon Ingram is a good player, but they need another star if they're going to compete. He averaged 27 points, 7.2 rebounds, and 3.7 assists this season, obviously.
Good player.
It wasn't on him, his first all-star
game
this year. I mean, look, like, there's going to be a few more years before we start really having the discussion about what Zion's going to do about New Orleans. It's still a ways off. And I do like the New Orleans Pelicans front office. I think that they're very competent. They'll figure it out, but it's just a matter of getting another star there because that's what they have to do. So, speaking of those Knicks, they've waited 8 years to see their team return to the NBA playoffs, and they're going to have to pull out the checkbooks if they want to see them in person. Standard tickets have been sold out, so fans will have to pay secondary market prices for the series opener against the Hawks. And according to SeatGeek, the lowest price for a ticket is $807, but additional fees bump it up to $1,000 each. The highest price for a courtside seat now is nearly $30,000.
Come on, for a game?
Listen, it's New York City. There's a lot of ballers there who really like the Knicks, and it's been a while. If you've been saving your Knicks ticket money for when they're in the playoffs, you're good to go. It's the first postseason appearance since 2012.
This is really fun. I really, they don't have a ton of offensive juice, so, they got to win one way, and I do think you can win a series that one way, which is defense and hustle. I think there's a ceiling that's fairly obvious here.
Sure, but... You know what? They had a great regular season.
Yes.
They have an identity, and they're building a culture, and I like the direction that they're heading in. How long this is going to be sustainable for, we'll see. But I'm happy for the Knicks and Knicks fans. The NBA is just, it's factually, it's better, it's more fun when the Knicks are competitive.
No question. It's a great basketball city. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Brought to you by Mercedes, the best or nothing. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, cover the league for a long time now, joins us live. So, you know, LeBron, I'm going to defend him here. Generationally, he grew up on the phone, you know, IG, Snapchat, you know, so did my daughter, so did anybody under 30, 33. So he goes and pushes back a little on the people that don't talk about him in scoring. How did you view that?
Well, first of all, Colin, you need to have me on earlier in the show if you're going to talk this much NBA, because there's so much that you put out there that I need to fix that I don't possibly have the time in this little segment. And two, you didn't need to tell us you were of a different generation, because first of all, you're watching TV, and two, you called the remote a channel flipper. So we got it right there. Three, it's not that LeBron is communicating on social media. It's what he's communicating. This is what I have found fascinating and almost tragic about LeBron, is that for all that he's accomplished, for all the accolades that he has received, for all of his talk about, you know, I'm concerned about things bigger than basketball, he's worried that he's not getting enough dap for his scoring prowess to the point where I'm going to construct a post to point out that I'm not getting the love that I deserve at a score as a scorer. There's no question we're fully aware of all the points that he scored. Here's the distinction and the reason that he's not looked at as a scorer is because he does not have a scorer's mentality. If Steph Curry or Kobe Bryant start off and they're not shooting well, they don't decide, you know what, I'm going to be a distributor today. I'm going to get everybody else going because I'm not feeling my three-point shot. For whatever reason, it's not falling. They're going to stay after it. They're going to find different ways to score. They're going to get to the free throw line. LeBron doesn't do that because he doesn't shoot the free throw well. I'm going to get to the cup. Don't understand why he wouldn't do more of that if the three-point shot is not falling. So it is amazing that he can affect the game in so many different ways. But to even at this point in his career, I still see a guy who is a confidence shooter. That if he's feeling it, he's feeling good about it, then he's going to score. If he doesn't, then he's going to do something else. And that's the distinction. And I dare say, like, that's the difference. Kobe and Jordan and Steph, they're always going to bet on themselves as scorers. LeBron is like, I'm not feeling it. Let me see if I can get other guys going. And that's always been my criticism of him, because I do believe that he has the capability. I don't want him as good of a three-point shooter as Kyle Korver is or J.R. Smith or whatever. No, LeBron, I want you taking the responsibility to that because of your size, speed, and everything that you're capable of. I wish that he trusted himself more in those situations. That has always been my criticism. When we talk about playing the right way is giving yourself the greatest advantage, not playing Hoosiers basketball. It's what gives me the greatest advantage. And because of LeBron's greatness, I've always felt from a physical sense, he gives them the greatest advantage to score in certain situations. And there are just times where he's not feeling it, doesn't have that confidence, and says, you know what, I'm going to try to create something for somebody else.
But let me defend LeBron again. So LeBron, basically, he and AD don't play much together this year. At the end, they're both healthy. They win five straight. And when asked about seeding, LeBron's like, I don't care. Just, we're ready to go. Let's go. Bring them on. The Clippers, meanwhile, appeared to tank this weekend, so terrified of playing the Lakers. And I think to myself, Paul George already has a confidence problem in the postseason. They're a terrible late-game close-the-game-out team on data. And I look at the way they kind of tiptoe into the playoffs to avoid the Lakers, and I'm like, I don't like that at all. That is not, for a team that's never made a conference championship, at least fake confidence. What did you make of that?
There's a couple things there. One, I think that the data and the game data is a little bit skewed because they've had so many games that have not been decided in the final minutes. I do have a question there as to who they're going to go to and what they're going to how they're going to play. I think having Rajon Rondo there really bolsters my confidence that they are going to find the right guy in the right situation to score or find the right matchup. I don't believe, first of all, unless you're telling me that you know somebody from the Clippers organization who said to you directly, you know what, we really don't want to play the Lakers right from the start. We'd rather wait later. I look at this as strategic. Like, why go through the most difficult avenue, one, and two, why play our studs at the end of the season, two studs who have been suffering injuries at various times? Why risk getting them injured right before the playoffs start, as opposed to what the LeBron James and AD had no choice? They were trying to avoid the play-in game, so you had to play them. And what happened? Both of them tweaked their ankle in a game that you would have otherwise sat them. So I think that was the risk that the Clippers were running. I look at Rajon Rondo. I look at Kawhi Leonard. I don't believe they're scared of the Lakers. I don't believe they're scared of LeBron James. So I'm not buying this idea that they're like, oh, we don't want to see them. Like, if we can avoid seeing them, then that's better for us. I think there's still a healthy appetite among the Clippers that they would like to win a championship, and they have no problem going through the Lakers to do it.
Rick Bucher joining us. So Brad Stevens, a little bit of a hot seat. They're not a championship team this year, and I don't see them over the next several years as being a championship team. What do you do to right it?
Yeah, it's, well, you're right, and it's on Danny Ainge. This is not the structure of this team, and the structure of the coach-player dynamic is not a good one. First of all, Brad Stevens has the misfortune of having come in and been labeled a genius in his first or second year. And I think he's a very good coach. I don't know that he's proved to be a great coach. He's a great strategist. He's a great X's and O's guy. But it takes a special kind of coach to coach superstars. And when you've coached at Butler, you're by and large not coaching superstars. You're coaching and you're getting the most out of lesser talent. And he's demonstrated that he's capable of doing that with the Boston Celtics. But how do you cultivate those superstars? How do you drive those superstars to be superstars? I look at his demeanor. I look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, their two best players, their demeanor. And they're all sort of soft-spoken. They are more passive than aggressive. I feel that the one element that this team is missing more than anything else is that fire starter, that Draymond Green, that emotional leader. Marcus Smart is the closest thing that they have to that. But when Danny is throwing his name out there in trade rumors at the trade deadline, how much authority does he actually have in the locker room? So I feel like there's just, aside from the X's and O's and not having enough size and rim protection, there's a personality dynamic to this team that is missing, and they have to go find that. But I agree with you 1,000%. Like, there's a lot of work to be done on this roster in order for them to be a contender in the Eastern Conference anytime soon.
All right, we're done. That was good. I mean, you get 9 minutes.
All right.
About all we have, you know, Buke, there's a lot of ads on this show. It's very popular. Very popular show.
I understand. I understand. I just, you know, when the ads come on, I get the channel flipper out and I
come
see
on.
What else is going on, and then I come back once you're back.
All right, Rick Bucher, Fox Sports. For the record, an anonymous executive gives a hypothetical Bronco-Packer trade scenario. Really interesting for both sides. That is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Go to HustlerTurf.com. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers. There's a dealer near you, hustlerturf.com. So Albert Breer was writing a column, and he called, general managers and executives to see. Everybody speculates on the Aaron Rodgers Denver Broncos trade. But what would you get? And, you know, fans always say, put a name on it, but you always get better information when it's anonymous because you don't want to get tampering charges. You don't want to get in trouble. So here's what the exec told Albert Breer. Basically, the Packers would get Drew Lock. Who cares? Backup. Bradley Chubb, good young player, a guard, and three first-round picks and a second. The Broncos get Aaron Rodgers and a fourth-rounder. So here's what it is. This is really – so we know why Denver wants Aaron Rodgers. We know why that. And Denver's a place like a Seattle, San Francisco. They'll go after free agents. A lot of these places like the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks that go and get free agents, they're always willing to give up first-round picks. They'd rather have Jalen Ramsey than cross your fingers on a kid that played corner for Clemson. But think about this from Green Bay's perspective. So Green Bay is not a free agent hub. They don't get free agents. So first-round picks are really important to them. Because they don't get free agents. Where do you get your stars in the NFL? First round or free agency. So you would give Green Bay, more than any team, Green Bay values those first round picks. So Green Bay would get three additional first round picks and a really good pass rusher and a second round pick. And they're not considering it? For a 37-year-old quarterback? Brett Favre. Got a third-round pick. Same basic age. Never been hurt. Brett Favre got a third-round pick. An executive said Denver would give him three firsts, a second, and a good pass rusher. And Green Bay won't consider it. Folks, that's scary. Why? Because Jordan Love can't play. He can't play. Are you kidding me? Favre with no injuries. Something left in the tank. A third-round pick. And it's not like the front office back then for Green Bay was clueless. They've always had good front offices. The only reason you don't take the call on that is Jordan Love can't play. Now think about this. Name the last four or five quarterbacks in their first or second year that inherited either competent offensive pieces or a smart offensive coach. Dak, 13-3, rookie. Lamar, first year, 6-1. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, 12-4. Justin Herbert set records. Jared Goff, 11-4. Trubisky, second year, 11-3. With an average O-line. So if you're a young quarterback and you inherit competency offensively, you generally flourish even if we don't love you. Trubisky, don't love him. Goff, don't love him. Jordan Love would be inheriting, in my opinion, a top three receiver, a top five back. David Bakhtiari is the best pass-blocking left tackle in football, highly productive tight end, and a really smart young offensive coach. And Green Bay won't make a move on it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. If you can get three firsts, a second, and a top defensive end for 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers, that is a haul. Brett Favre got a third-round pick. And listen, this is one of these stories where I am not denying Aaron's great. But I've said from the very beginning, if Jordan Love can play, make the move. Aaron's not happy. Three first-round picks. Bradley Chubb, make the move. Story came out today from a veteran reporter. I don't have a name on this. I am sorry. Who covers the Packers? Tom Silverstein? Okay, Tom. Excellent work. The veteran reporter noted recently, the Packers would require a quarterback to come back to the team in any Aaron Rodgers trade. Folks, they're telling you, Jordan Love can't play. Butcher the pick. I mean, Joe Burrow had nothing to work with last year. Five games in, we're all like, ooh, woohoo. 1 year, great starter, Joe Burrow. Started 2 years in college, 1 year, great starter. We're like, whoa, Jordan Love started 3 years in college. It's not like he has nine starters. He's got like 30. And I've not seen him play, but that is concerning. Like, if that's what you get, like, Green Bay needs first-round pick. If you go look at the Hall of Fame, it's a lot of first-round picks. Now, I understand half the league is undrafted. Not a lot of stars are undrafted. Antonio Gates is, you know, one in a million. Bottom line, your stars are your first round. Green Bay could get three first-round picks and a top defensive end and a second-round pick. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't know. That tells you a lot right there. I got to just think about that. I'm shaking. That is a lot. That is a lot to get. Three firsts, a second, and Bradley Chubb? Denver's got to give up Drew Lock and a guard? Come on now. I don't care about that. And by the way, Denver, again, is a free agent place. They got Peyton Manning. They'll give up first-round picks. They don't care about that. And I don't necessarily think that's a win for either team. I just think that Green Bay, you got to take that phone call. You got to take it. Sean Lee of the Cowboys, formerly, joins us next. The Herd.